This morning I'm turning to the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 12. I'll read to you verse 7. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. And I'm thinking this morning is two natures in man. And I'll pay your share with the accurate Ecclesiastes now. I did a dream holy said, Nipa, assume you know a winning palm. Nipa, assume you know a winning palm. Na ye verse ni se na no na dotie be Daniel ko dotie mu na honhom no be da e be sa na chi akọ ogade a odi mai. And this morning as I say, we meditate on this text and thinking about the two natures in man. Job referring to a man suffering spoke about this similar natures in man. In Job 14:22, he said that, but his flesh upon him shall have pain, and his soul within him shall mourn. And this teaching is common in scripture. Normally when we talk about man, he said his flesh, his body shall be in pain, and his soul within him shall mourn. So there's always these two parts of man that is always brought out. But the very account of human creation proves the duality of natures in man, in the body and the soul. Here can you say, Nipa, Bible no tell me say ye assume no honam ene okra and now soon sum no. E ade a Bible ade tre, e o Bible mo a say. Na Job bra o tre obi Nipa so o bre no o ka say na me nipedua e da no so no. Then yao yao, and the crown so is only. Yeshua, makes me a woman born Nipa, makes me actual Genesis, Yeshua Mua, Yeshua makes me a Nipa, assuming you saw any piano, phenomenal or sounds here or crap. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, we are told that, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. The soul, as we see here, comprises the spiritual, immortal, and the rational part of man. That is the soul. We have our personalities from our souls. Yes, so you can't nipa or cry, no one has nipa soon to know. Nipa a cry, no one. A tread, nipa, the sounds here, the Nipa, or the Nagrain, and then this mo to me, and ya, and get a horn of a few. Now, your cassette, Nipa, your cassette Nipa, the train said, a crown of money by Nipa. The crown in the war, Nipa, anyhow. So we say that even animals have souls, but the souls of animals are different from us. Or the Bible distinguishes that. And some people are confused and they will tell us that, look at man, when people die, that's all because, like animals also have souls. But the Bible always distinguishes the soul of man and that of animals. Animals, we know, are not moral beings. They are not answerable to their actions. And more in here, a body, but we are punished and we are answerable to our actions. That has been a difference between man and animals. The can say, today I'm going to go Nipa, a crown, and a man, Nipa, a castle, will be a Nipa, and in the crown, it's the moon, a more Nipa, and then the Honambiano, there. So Solomon, the wise king of Israel, had in this chapter, in the whole book of Ecclesiastes, he has warned about the vanities of living for this temporal life. You know, this temporal life mainly is for this body. And that he has warned And from chapter, we go to chapter 11, from 7 to 10 through chapter 12, 1 to 6, and even 13 and 14. After he has warned about the vanities of this life and how people who live for this life are living for vanities, he calls on us to realize God's claim on us, to recognize God's claim on us. For instance, let me read to you chapter 11, 7 to 10. He says that, "Truly the light is sweet, and a pleasant thing it is for the eyes to behold the sun. But if a man live many years and rejoice in them all, yet let him remember the days of darkness, for they shall be many. All that cometh is vanity." And he adds verse 9, "Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment." That all these things God's claims are on you. God claims you that you be responsible for your actions. Enjoy your life at the time of youth. And you know, when we are young, we think life is so fun and enjoyable. But I say that enjoy your life, but be careful that there's judgment awaiting for you. Whatever you pursue after for entertainment or for fun, whatever you pursue after as your life, remember there's what? Life after death. And through chapter 12, 1 to 6, also tells us when that evil days comes, and then people don't have even interest, and there's even interest in things, and then even death itself comes to us. And in that same verse 13 and 14, he tells us about the same judgment. Let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter. "Fear God and keep his commandment, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil." And whether we believe it or not, it is going to happen. Whether we believe it or not, that is what the Bible has told us. And as he has reminded us that youthful times are full of energy and fun, and yet there's sadness and time of decay. In this life, if we live long, we will realize all this. There will be a time of some will pass out in their youthful age, so they are not able to see the difficulties of old age. But yes, even the youthful age, there are some troubles of life. But then if we should live long, we will soon see how old age and the troubles will come to us. And even death itself will be knocking at our door. The air can say, Solomon, no utupo, Mabawa, said, Now, even Okaza, in Pussy, last chair, you who said, Embra, a yawn, I revolve over mine, Embra, the bar, yen yano, said the yano. And I didn't yet, you know, or King Agin could not say, or say, you're who's in a coupon, or not, the amazing coupon, per se, the bra boy, the dear genius. So that the day of judgment, when it comes, will have answer to him. And as I said before, we should recognize God's claim because we are moral creatures. Animals, God doesn't call animals to think about their lives. He calls on human beings. So it should tell us that there's a claim of God on us. Because we are moral creatures who will give accounts of our thoughts, our feelings, and our actions to God at the end of life. All that we do, we'll give account to him. As verse 9 tells us, that we should rejoice and cheer our heart, but we should remember that the day will come when we stand before God. Our thoughts we have used our minds to do, what we have used our feelings to do, what we have done with our actions, we'll give account to him. God, who is our creator, the judge of all the earth, is the God of life and the Father of spirits. All that we have, our bodies were given to us by him, our souls were given to us by him, and all the capacities we have were given to us by him. And so he has a claim on us, so that we have to listen when his word tells us that there will be a time when we have to appear before him for judgment. So as we go on, this text of verse 7, I read to you, "Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, the spirit shall return unto God who gave it." The text speaks about what happens when our life in this world ends. You see, from chapter 11 down, part of chapter 11 to chapter 12, they are speaking about generally How youthful age we have to enjoy, and yet the times of difficulty, troubles will come and death. But here in verse 7, it tells us that at the end of life, this is what will happen. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto man who gave it. And this is our text for our meditation this morning. And this text declares an important truth about us in the scriptures, a body of dust and an immortal soul, the two natures of man. So, verse here, Paul who say, yeah, you pa, you want no more, and yet, and that's here, and now you are crowns who are in. We have an immortal soul in us. Because the spirit here represents the soul. So first we think about our bodies formed out of dust. The other kind of being verse, you may share any pedia, you have bought a free and the TM. And when we think of this, it reminds us that no matter how we embellish our bodies, we are still a lump of dust. So your dream makes my Bible can say you're not here, and found makes my business here. You're not here. Have you ever looked at a statue before? They created with all whatever, making this nice. It's still a statue, and that's what this verse tells us. No matter how we embellish us, so we are still what? Dust. Our bodies are mere refined and living dust. God took the earth, dust, and formed it, and gave it a shape, and gave what? Changed it to this body we have. So this verse really speaks to us that we are nothing. And it tells us, that our existence do not depend on our bodies of dust. God dust do not have any life in it. But it also tells us the soul, is that which gives life to the body. That's what it tries to tell us. So taking our soul from us, our bodies are nothing. That's what it tells us. Why shall return to dust? Remember when God created Adam, Adam was created. The Bible tells us that, and God did what? Gave him a soul, and they begin to exist. So if God has made Adam, whatever form he and beauty he gave him, if he had never given him a soul, he would not have existed. Adam wouldn't have been. Adam became Adam because God gave him a soul. So you see, each one of us, we are who we are because of our souls in us. So, the souls can live without the bodies, but the body, immediately the souls live, it dies. It cannot survive. Souls give life to the body, you see. So that when our bodies are joined, so then we have life and we live. So this also tells us that our existence do not really depend on food, drinks, shelter, and all the refinements we give to our bodies. But is it opposite to what we think? As if food, drinks, and bodily pleasure is what makes us live. No, but it tells us that our life, even current life, doesn't depend on what we give to this body. Because whatever we have to this body, if the soul is left, it cannot enjoy. So you see, it tells us how our bodies, compared to our souls, are nothing. What are food, drinks, and dresses, and whatever beauty to the dead body? To somebody who is dead and who is lying there. You can't say, I'm fair, and I say, I'm here, It's nothing to him. So you see, the life, yes, God has given us to eat food to help our bodies, but our existence does not depend on food and things that we eat. But don't you think, I'm sure we are aware, the mind of the philosophy of the world, how we will live long, how we live healthy, and whatever, that's all that absorbs human, thinking when it comes to life preservation. Avoiding this and doing that. I think our life depends on them. No! You see, people take their mind off from the fact that we are not just bodies, we are souls. We are souls. They are craft, they are in the end. And this fact, that's what the Bible warns us about, that we should be careful, we should be mindful for the eternal safety of our souls and not our bodies. In Matthew 16:26, Jesus Christ told us that, for what is man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his soul? Or what shall a man gain in exchange for his soul? Not the body. Not in exchange for his body. For not what a man shall gain in the whole world if he loses his body. if he lose his soul, not the body, if he lose his soul to eternal damnation, that's what it means, not this life. If you lose your soul to be banned from God forever, what should you get? If you are careless about your soul, and that you live on for this body and you die, and you are banished from God forever, what will you gain? If you were given the whole world and this body enjoyed everything, what will you gain? So it's something that you have to think about, that our souls must concern us than our bodies. So the verse tells us, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was. It means that our death returns to our original state, the common dust. Verse no extrain say me suma o se do tebe daniel ko me tin bi o che se ye wu a eni pedue ekọ na chi bi ekọ se de e fa ni fi ye no a. And when it turns to that, we lose all the form we made with. You see, when people are dead and they are buried and they are rotting in the we don't see their beauty again. We don't see their shape again. Their physique and health all dissolve as if these people has never been. Whatever image you make of them, it's gone forever. We don't see that until the day of resurrection, when God resurrects this body again. The body is dead and it has no life in it. It's gone forever. And yet this is what, in this world, we are made to think of. What will we eat? What will we drink? What will we enjoy for this body? And yet at death, and what we have to put on for this body, and how we have to preserve this body. But at death, it's gone. Let me give you this illustration. Have you ever visited a disused cemetery, an old cemetery that is now maybe being used for buildings and for residential areas and all that? In my hometown, there's some who they have done that way. And if you go to the, because when I was younger, I knew it was been a scary place to go because it was like a forest. But now they've built everything, they have put out buildings. When you never knew that it was a cemetery, you didn't know. If you pass, you think it's a normal town. I remember my old grandmother was buried there. And I was saying about it. So sometimes when I'm passing there, I just think. So all these people, and many people, or the whole people, the people in the whole town were buried there for to the time they took the cemetery from there. So where are all these people? Their bodies, what are they? It is all mingled up. That if you go and fetch a sand from that place, their body is there. But where are they? They're mixed up there. So that when you look at such a situation, you realize that dust has returned to dust. That is how it is. And then you think of yourself, yes, one day I will also be like that. This body that I cherish so much, this body that I make it my priority, one day it will be like this. All those who lived in the town for so many years were buried there. And then if you go and fetch a dust from there today, that's their body. That is it. Said the mechanic, now first, the whole thing will be a huge mockery. Now we should go near this one. Why is the forest cut? And the only view on here, I'm just here again. It's too good to go. So when the children is there, the Bible can regret. Say, you are a body, a cycle material. That is it. It has returned to that. And when you think of this world, it will shame our pride. So if you start, the promise may be a tibiati, because after all, this body will turn to dust. And it also causes us to desist from desire status and recognition. I am this, I am, you know who I am, and I am, I want to be like this. At the end of the day, when life ends, what will that be? This body that you claim to be, superficial, whatever, it's gone. And it's like any other person's body there. So it will shame our pride and desire for status and recognition in this world. Because if you go to the graveyard, the bodies of servants and masters, children and adults, rich and the poor, foolish and the wise, they are all mingled there. The illiterate and the illiterate, they are all mingled there. Pasiani, Nyanseni, Pinyufoni, Nkwara, Skeni, Hieni, Nyanseni, Obiyoni, Nyanseni, Omuniya, Omuni, Pebiya, Afratni.
And so why do you have to be so much of showing a distinction in this world?
Our bodies one day will go to the same place.
So you see, this verse tells us so much about how we are. That man cannot have to be proud.
As Job tells us in Job 22, it tells us that, looking at the same situation, it says, they shall lie down alike in the dust, and the worm shall cover them. The same worm that feasts on the rich, will feed on the poor, the wise, and the foolish. Whatever educational and crime, whatever somebody could not achieve, it doesn't matter. Our body will mingle in the earth. There's no difference. Again, Job tells us in chapter 3, verse 17-19, referring to the place, the graveyard. There the wicked cease from troubling, and there the weary be at rest. There the prisoners rest together. They hear not the voice of the oppressor. The small and great are there, and the servant is free from his master. Isn't that interesting? That wherever if you think of, let's say, like the tyrants, like Adolf Hitler and others, who really massacred millions of people. I don't know, they also died. And in the same earth, they were buried. Go and look for their bodies. It is the same like those they massacred for their own pleasure. It's like those they destroyed for their own pleasure. They are the same. So what is their sense? You see, we are bodies of that. That's what it tells us. But you know the interesting thing? Our bodies were not meant to return back to its origin if it were not sin. Because of stink of sin, death. Because in Genesis 3:19, God said that when Adam sinned and he was cursing him, he said that dust thou art, and dust shall thou return because of what you have done. If sin has not come, the glory of God in man have remained, and man will not have gone back to death and dust again. Sebonia mbak and if any man the man, do you find out yamu dear? So can you my uncle what the man, you know? I can't sound creative. So it should also tell us what sin really is. Death, when we turn to dust, should tell us that sin is something that we should really be afraid of, because it is by sin that we turn back to where we came from. Sin is turning us back again from where God took us from. So you see, so man who have lived forever, and you know, at a point in time, the body, like the soul, have experienced immortality. Man who have had a body of living forever, and also has already, the soul was given that a blessing. But what has happened? We have lost that in sin. We have lost that because of sin. And yet, how do we love our sin? How do we cherish our sinful ways? And we don't even care about what our sins are. So you see, that is how it is. That sin is taking us back. But let's think also further that how wonderful it was that God manifests his glory in us. Because the Bible told us that God made us after his image. That the soul he gave it to us after his image. And the capacity of the soul as love and other kindness and having a mind and everything, the state of righteousness and holiness. But all this was given to the body. Isn't that interesting? The image of God in man, though it's not the body, but he gave this, because we can see this image in man when people have their bodies and they are in vain. God gave it to the body, fitting us with all the capabilities for our existence. Look at the whole world. Are we able to live? Because God has given us the intelligence and the capacity to live in this world, to make the world to be usable for us. Look at the technologies and everything we have done. It's God who gave us so that these bodies can live. And the greatest of all, the capacity to know that He is our God, and to worship and to know and to love Him. God gave this thing to this body through giving the soul to our bodies. How we think of this wonderful thing, let's think higher, because there's one more, the greatest thing which was so wonderful that it should always be our attention, because ours, no matter how we think of it, we have lost it, and at death it goes and it is never remembered. The most wonderful thing that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, what did he do? He took
to himself, he humiliated himself. He was to take a human body. Look at the body of dust. Dust, God himself took human body. He took dust on himself to come. He humiliated himself. What for what purpose? After man have sinned and have brought death to himself, so that he can come and conquer death for us. It is death that is taking us back to our original state. But Christ came so that when he conquers death, then men can have our bodies returned back and not going back to that again. So he came to conquer death for us, and he took on him human nature. Or made of what? Clay, made of dust. That's what Christ is. That's the most wonderful thing. Ours we have lost it. But he came to redeem us from such a state. So he came to conquer death for us. Though he was the Almighty God, a Lord of glory, he concealed deity to take human flesh. He covered who he is as God. In Philippians, we are told and tells us that he thought it's not a robbery to be called a God when he was God, but he took the form of a servant. Adam was a servant, took the form of God. That dust that Adam was made of, he was really servant, because he was to come and serve God and live according to what God purposed him to do. And Christ was willing to come to that state to be able to do what he did for us, so that he can purchase for us eternal life, to restore these bodies to its former glory. So that this body, when at the day of resurrection, when those who have really come to repentance and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, because he died for us, then those bodies will be glorified, never to return to dust again. Those bodies will be glorified, never to be besieged with death again. Those bodies will be glorified to live with God forever. But in as Daniel tells us, some to resurrection of life, some to resurrection of damnation. While those who have believed in Christ and have their bodies changed, others who never believed in him and live for this body, their bodies will be given to them for eternal damnation, to suffer forever in that state of humiliation, where they will feel all the troubles of this world, even in thousandfold. You see? So Christ took this body so that he can bring life to us. The life we lost, that state of glory of this body, he's coming to restore it to us and to refine us to a better, even far more than what Adam had. Adam was in a state of probation. Ours, when we have, it will bring us to a state that will never return to that state again. So it's a wonderful thing. Though we are made of dust, yet God himself took this dust on himself so that he can bring us from where we have fallen and to give us again eternal life. So that you praise God for his gift of life in the Lord Jesus Christ. As Apostle Paul even put on, he said that, thank God for his unspeakable gift. A gift that we cannot use words to describe. That is what Christ has done for us. So let's turn from our first part of the text, we speak of our bodies of flesh, and to the part which tells of our souls, our spiritual immortal souls. So the last part of our verse tells us, let me read it off. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. So we look at the spirit returning to God who gave it. The spirit returning to God. And as I earlier I said, the spirit means the invisible part of man, the our immortal souls. This means that our bodies do not die without our souls do not die with our bodies. This verse, how it has separated it, it's just a straightforward that the body dies but the soul is gone. The body and the soul do not die together. So those who think that when we die, our souls also like animals are extinguished, they don't know. The Bible tells us here that the spirit go back to God who gave it. Our souls don't die with our body. There's an example here in 1 Kings 17, chapter 17:17-23. Remember when the woman's son died, and Elijah prayed for the son, and the Bible told us that, and his soul returned to his body. The soul, the body was dying by death, and the soul returned to the body. That means the soul was departed. And so it confirms what Ecclesiastes tells us, that the spirit returns to God who gave it. And in Revelation, in Acts chapter 7, verse 59, when Stephen was dying, remember that he's preparing that the Lord should receive his spirit. His body was dying. He said, Lord, receive my spirit. The same reference to that division in Ecclesiastes tells us. You see, so the Bible proved that there's that two difference in man and the spirit, the soul and the body. And remember that at the day of resurrection, it's not the soul that will resurrect. Oh, the Bible tells us it's the body that will resurrect. Bible tries to say, so there's always these two distinctions, not the body that will resurrect, it's the body, it's the souls. Not the souls that will resurrect, it's the bodies that are mingled in the ground. And also, we should also know that disembodied souls are conscious. That is, souls that have departed from their bodies are conscious. But there's others who tell us that when the soul, when we are dead, we are unconscious, looking at only the body. But the soul, the Bible tells us that the soul is still conscious after death. Meaning that the wua, you need to be in the but the crowd etias, said the etias, yeah. In Luke 16:22-21, when the Lord Jesus Christ, what he called the parable of the rich man and Lazarus, they were dead, but then their souls went to different places. Lazarus to a place of rest, and the rich man into a place of torment. In Revelation chapter 6:9-10, we also read of disembodied souls praying to the Lord. If the souls are unconscious, how did they pray to the Lord? Their bodies were not, but their souls were in heaven, a place they could pray for to the Lord. So it tells us that the soul is conscious. No unconscious person can pray. If somebody is not conscious, can pray? Their body cannot pray, but the soul could pray when the body is taken from it. So it tells us that there's this difference, the body and the soul, and at death they separate. The body is rotten and turned to dust, the soul lives on. And it tells that it goes to God who gave it. It goes to him consciously, not in an unconscious state. Because a cry, no point, I'm going to change to a cry, a calling change to a cry, or it has to fall. So those who seem to claim that the soul is unconscious as death, they are wrong. The Bible speaks of death as generally, but then it also differentiates where the soul goes and where the body goes. So again, and the spirit shall return to God who gave it. The Bible sometimes uses soul and spirit interchangeably. So sometimes people may think that, oh, the soul, they will explain it somehow. But the Bible uses the two interchangeably. For instance, Job 32:8, the Bible tells, Job tells us, this is not Job, one of his friends. But there's a spirit in man, and the inspiration of God Almighty giveth them understand. There's a spirit in man, referring to the soul as a spirit. And also, in Psalm 42:6, we have, the psalmist praying, oh my God, my soul is cast down within me. So he says, the spirit and the soul is within, and it's together. Those people try to explain that the soul is that part where we have our feelings and I think our will, and but the spirit is where the mind, is our mind, and but whatever it is. It is the inner being of our whole, it's a being of our what, invisible part, where we don't see. Whether the mind or the heart, whatever, is a soul. And it has that immortality. That's why sometimes it's called the spirit of man. The spirit of man. Because the soul that gives life, so mortal life, we have temporal life from the soul. But then human beings have beyond this mortal life. The souls are spirit. It has that immortality with it. So then, Isaiah 26:9 tells us, distinguishing even the soul, it's talking about the same thing. It says that, with my soul have I desired thee in the night, yea, with my spirit within me will I seek thee early. So, telling us that he wants to entirely seek God, and he devises his soul and his spirit, so that the soul desires, and the mind what? Maybe seeks and all that. So, the spirit here representing the mind, and the soul here representing the heart, the desires. But whichever way it is used, it's talking about invisible or inner being, which is separate from the body, which is separate and so conscious and so immortal, so that after that it continues to live where God places them. So as we have, the soul is where we have our consciousness, our desire, and our will. That's where they reside. So the souls are real self. Our characters, motives, will, utterances, actions are formed from there. Whatever a man speaks is from within. Remember how Christ said that corruption is from within, not from the outside. People claiming, making claim of the skin or the body doesn't reflect the corruption, the purity of the heart. But if our souls, our heart are pure, it doesn't matter what happens to our bodies. That's what matters. So the soul is of great priority than the body, whatever way we look at it. But then it tells us, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. So at death, our souls are sent to God. That's what it says. It goes back to God who gave it, because He gave it to our bodies for the purpose of accountability. I didn't think that Christ, no, He gave our souls to us because of accountability. I'm sure in this world we always demand accountability for people's actions. That also, what did you do that? What did you do that? I mean, authorities are given to a reward or punish, reward the good and punish in what the Bible tells us, and it's all over. Our actions, everything are bound for accountability. And so at death, our souls are summoned before God's tribunal. For what purpose? God's court, I mean God's tribunal, will appear before God. It's not interesting that the body is dead, but we are told to appear before God. The soul appears before God, because the soul is the individual, is the person. The soul is the man or the woman. It appears before God. That's what it says. It appears before God for the purpose of accountability, for the sentence on our life on earth, so that we go and take sentence from God for judgment on what our life has been. In Romans 14 verse 12, we are told, so then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Romans 14 12 says, and we will appear before him. And then we have to give account for what we have done. Account of our motives, our desires, our actions, and our words. How people even think, how careless with their words. They say anything, yes, we'll give account of that. The things that we desired and thought of in our mind, when nobody saw, God saw it. God heard it in our minds. And we'll give account about them. And that day, whoever appears at that day, I know at death we appear. It's appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. So that the sentence given to us when our bodies are disembodied is the same that at the day of resurrection, when the body is joined to the soul, it goes where it has to go, because it has already been judged. It has already been given the sentence. So it's not like that when our bodies are joined, then we're not going to take our judgment. Immediately a sinner dies, he's judged. The Bible tells us in John chapter 3 that people are already condemned because, not because, they are condemned already because we live in sin. If we live in sin and die in sin, we are already condemned. And that straight away, there was separation. That is Lazarus and the rich man. Immediately they died. God separated them. God knew what they have done, and He separated them. So that when their bodies comes also, they will go along with what their souls are to suffer or to enjoy the God forever. So that every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Whether great or not, whether small or older, we will give account to God. But as we are talking about this accountability, are we all not guilty of with many sins? Each one of us, let's recollect. Are we not guilty with many sins? Say, yeah, give me this one. I die. I can't bear because I can't write. I can't go at him. Go no. Yeah, here I am. I'm just saying. Before born, we bring one. All of us have our sins. Nobody can claim innocent before God. All of us have our sins. Our pride, our selfishness, our envy, hatred, greed, fleshly lust, profane words. And we are going to give account about this. We are all guilty in this way. They are countless. So we see, when we hear that we will appear before God, it should draw our mind that none is guiltless. Because nobody can claim innocent. We all have our sins. Obi no ni ni boni. Akra openi obi a ni boni. And the person will be our money, Hannah dear, but it will be our money. And now, most of the times, you know, you try to say, push your money, man, God, but God knows all those things. You see, when we are growing, we try to be so smart so that people don't see our sins. But God knows and sees all our sins. And it's the same God that we have to appear before that day when we pass out of this world. When our souls go before Him, when we appear to take sentence on our lives. But the Bible assures us that some can claim guilt, that they are not guilty on the basis of the fact that they are covered by the blood of Christ. Those who can claim guiltless at that day are those that are covered by the blood of Christ. They only. Because Christ, the Son of God, who came to take on Him human flesh, went to the cross for the purpose of taking on Him the punishment that was due to us as sinners. The Ekani said, "I will say, 'Nya yedi for onyamini, but omu abetu mi akonyamini mwa omekwa yimbu omufoni omu a Yesu Kristo moja akata omusu." If say Kristo oba oba for any person, or kuasendia no so akwaji ebone huwa suche. All the sins that you have, that He wants to take the punishment for, and all those who come and trust in this blessing that He preaches for forgiveness of sin, His blood that He gave, His life that He gave, if we will come to Him and trust in Him and give ourselves to Him, then our punishment is given to Him. Then we can come to God as guiltless. He shed His blood in our place, and He gave Himself so that we, being guilty before God, have our sins cancelled before Him, so that God's wrath against us will be taken away. So you see, the Bible does not only tell us that we will appear before God. That will terrify. That terrifies, because when I look at myself, when you look at yourself, in deep in our hearts, we can know that we can never claim to be guiltless. But then, the joy of God's word, it tells us that what God has made a provision for us, and that provision is made to us through His own Son, who gave His blood to cover our sins, to pay for our sins' punishment. And He did that for us, so that if we confess our sins and ask Him for forgiveness in this life, before this life passes over, God said He will forgive us. God said that He will turn our guilt and our punishment to His Son, and then we shall come and appear before Him. Though sinners, though rebels against Him, appear before Him as guiltless, because you have saved us, changed our hearts, giving us a desire to pursue Him in this world, and also want to desire to know Him. And I want to appear before Him, not as our judge, but to appear before Him as our God, whom we have loved, because He first loved us by sending His Son to us. So that the Lord Jesus Christ, when He forgives us, He also cleanses us from every guilt, every filth of our sins. As 1 Timothy tells us that even Jesus, who delivered us from the wrath to come, the wrath, the judgment, the punishment, and all that God has against sinners, Christ has delivered those who have put their faith in Him. So that faith in the Lord Jesus Christ ends our guilt, ends our punishment from God, it ends our own helplessness, and gives us help, gives us hope, so that our lives of sin, God will cancel. And then, even in this life, He will let us taste a life of righteousness, a life of holiness. He will let us have a desire to pursue after Him in this life before we pass out of this world. And my question to you is that, knowing our appearing before God, have you come to Lord Jesus Christ with your sins? Yes, many will tell us, many will say that, yes, we have come, I have confessed my sins. But are you really sincere? Are there not some sins that you are still holding on to? Are there not some parts of your life which the Bible speaks against, but you are willing to hold on to that and still go on? That's the question. If you have genuinely confessed, the Lord will forgive. He will save, and He will change your heart. Because the evidence of God forgiving your sin is the change of heart. If my heart is not changed, if my mind is not renewed to pursue after God, there's no evidence that God has changed my heart. You see, so people can claim that they have come to God to be just right to be forgiven. But are they having that change? In 2 Corinthians 17, 5:7 tells us that if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Behold, all things are passed away. A life of sin, a life of knowing that this is against God, but I will go against it. It's past. A life that knowing that when I do this, I sin against God, but willfully I go against it. Truly, when we become Christians, one or two or sometimes sin. Definitely, we'll have our sins, but then we'll realize in that state, we will not enjoy that state of rebellion against God. But if we sin and we don't care about our sin and we continue in it, it's a sign that our sins are not forgiven us. And we continue to cover it up and not to bring it up before God and ask cleansing afresh. It's a sign that we are still not changed from that. So my question again to you, have you come to Lord Jesus Christ with your sin? What we think of the day of appearance before God, and then what God has provided for us, have you come to set for such mercy? What about if I didn't know about Christ, I'm a broken or the out to our mind? And when that same train is there, if I buy the name, I dare break you, you are still moon, you are bad thing. But what about what by the name, I best rebel on the Pachana? Let's remind ourselves, we are not just bodies, we are bodies and souls. And while this body perish in the earth, the soul will appear. And one day, if this body is resurrected, it will be joined to the soul, whether for happiness with God forever or with suffering in hell forever. So, if you have not done so, come to the Lord, ask Him to forgive you, and then in mercy, the Lord has promised that whoever comes to Him will never turn such a person out. So, let's think about this. We think of God's claim on us. Let's think also of our life of sin. Let's think also the mercy available for us in Lord Jesus Christ, so that we shall have the Lord's wrath on us taken away, and that even in this life we'll enjoy a life with God. May the Lord help us as we think on these things. May He grant us understanding further.